When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Talk about your Jets on The Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
BT and Sal back on The Fan right now. We are joined by Deanna Rossini of The Athletic, who along with Zach Rosenblatt and I forget his name, Silver. Deanna, you could help us out here. You guys co-wrote the article for The Athletic. It's so many of you guys on this, I can't even keep track of all the names. But
Mike Silver is like a sports journalism icon.
He's I know Mike Silver.
Sports Illustrated covers, but no, I totally get it.
Like, I know Mike Silver.
A lot of people. Well, you have a lot of people in the story because this is a story that takes a lot of reporting. You don't engage in a story about an owner in the NFL unless you have all the big muscles and all the big dogs involved. And we got Mike Silver involved for this exact reason, because we started working on this about 6 months ago. And once we started to gather all the intel, we realized, okay, if we're going to do this, we need to make sure we get everything accurate and we make sure all of the reporting is top notch. And hopefully that's something that you guys discovered while reading the article on The Athletic. How are you? Hello.
Yeah, well, I'm miserable. I can't stand it anymore, Deanna. It's just pitiful. It seems hopeless. We're helpless. You know, so, and I'm assuming this is true, and I trust your reporting. I think you're very good at your job, right? You have to hope from a Jets perspective, a fan's perspective, that Woody Johnson is so embarrassed by this that it forces him to change, or at least look deep within and consider changing. Do you think that he will? You know him.
I do. I think Woody Johnson certainly has read the story. Obviously, people in the New York Jets building has read the story, and they're aware that what we uncovered is probably just a small piece of a very big pie that you know, we've heard the rumors and the gossip in the New York area about some of this, which is why we thought it was important to sort of nail it down. Like, okay, it's easy as fans to say, well, our owners think, why? Well, here's why, right? You're trading a player like Jerry Jeudy. You're allowing your football people like Joe Douglas, the GM, to negotiate with the Denver Broncos and then abruptly call it off. For a bunch of reasons. And one of the reasons had to do with the fact that his Madden rating was too low. Madden as in the video game, which, you know, so many people play, but I don't know of any other owner that is using those type of references to make decisions in the football space.
Mm-hmm.
And that story was floating around the league for a while.
That almost seems unbelievable. I believe you. That seems unbelievable.
And it's not the only time he's done it. Hmm. Correct. It definitely surprised me at first, and I'd say reporting that you got to make sure you have at least 5-6 people making sure everyone is buttoned up on it, because I didn't believe it either. And it's true. And then I found out that he also did it with John Simpson, who turned out to be great. Right. Well, I think we could all say he was probably one of the best players on the Jets team this year, but he's used the Madden rating as reference. I don't think Woody Johnson is playing Madden. I think we can all agree, unless he does. I mean, if he does, that's awesome.
They'd probably be bad at it.
His sons play, though.
They're probably bad at it, too.
And that's another theme in the story of, you know, it's fine that owners have their children around. I cover all the teams in the league, and I see family constantly. But allowing a seat at the table in decision-making, allowing influence, from the information we gather of people that work in the New York Jets organization at this moment and have worked there in previous years, it's been made very clear that while Brick Johnson, the 18-year-old, isn't standing on the table going, we must get this player, he's talking to his dad and giving his suggestions of what he's seeing on Twitter, what he's reading, how he thinks this should be. And Woody, being a father, is listening to his son. But unfortunately, that's not how you want an operation to run. You do not want to be taking advice from guys that can't even legally drink.
Good God. I mean, that's just an embarrassment.
A football organization.
Hearing you say it, I mean, it's one thing to read it, Diana, which is bad enough, but hearing you say it and envisioning it, it's just embarrassing. BT and Sal on the Fan, we're talking with Diana Rossini, who wrote the article for The Athletic, the latest scathing piece on Woody Johnson. You know, that was going to be my next question anyway, as far as the kids getting involved. Like, is this somewhat normal? You'd think rich owners have rich children, spoiled brats hanging around these teams. Is this somewhat normal, even if it may go a little further than what happens in other NFL teams? But getting the kids involved, where does the Jets rank in comparison to the other teams around the league?
Kansas City is a great example. Their owner has daughters. They have one daughter who I'm sure you've seen her on social media, who really wants to be part of the football operation at one point. She's in her early 20s. And she attends meetings. She's around the team. She goes to the owners' meetings. But I've never been told a story where she's telling her father what the football people should be doing. She's not telling Andy Reid, here's how this is going to go, or telling Brett Veach, here's what I think. If she's asked, I'm sure they're open to it. So, look, I think the idea of a father wanting his sons to be part of something that he cares about and something that he owns is fine. That's normal. Allowing those children to tell people that you have hired to do it is a problem.
They
don't have that experience. It's one thing for me to... my dad was a plumber, to go to work with him, to watch him work. Mm-hmm. I'm not telling my dad to use a certain pipe.
What about a wrench?
You know, and if he, and if he did listen to me, he'd be out of business.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is a problem. And guys, look, the overall issue here is people close to Woody will tell you that Woody just wants to win. He holds people accountable. He has a high standard. And I think at some point here, they have to go, this is who you are, but this is not working. This is obviously not working doing it this way.
Yep.
And, you know, even the treatment of players. Did you guys come across the anecdote about Mike White, right? You guys remember Mike White was a hero around here.
Yeah, we brought it up.
Playing with these broken ribs. He goes into the shower and Woody's telling people in the locker room that he sucks. His words, not mine. So I just think all of this collectively together. And you saw, we got the Jets on this. They gave us on the record comments acknowledging this. They are aware, and I give them credit for that. They could have easily just ignored us. They could have easily just put out a statement saying The Athletic is a bunch of liars or whatever they want to do. But they know that there are problems and they want to fix them.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they're trying to do right now, with trying to nail down this GM head coaching search.
Diana, is there, well, and obviously we'll get to that. Is there anybody in the building that's not named Johnson that can look Woody in the eyes and speak from the heart and with a little bit of authority, even though Woody's the owner, and Woody actually respects and sometimes listens to that person?
Well, I think that them bringing in Mike Tannenbaum was purposed. I think Mike has so much experience with Woody, the good and the bad, that I do think Woody trusts him. I think the team president there also has tons of respect around the building. I came across that in just my reporting about how he is just really one of the best parts of the Jets organization. And that's even just around the league. That's people in the league office even telling me about him, that the Jets team president has what it takes. I just think you have a lot of the same people around Woody for a long time, that it would not hurt them. And this is just my opinion, to bring in a buffer, to bring in someone that could perhaps maybe help manage Woody. But we both, but the three of us know Woody probably wants someone he trusts. And mm-hmm. I think that's where they're going to run into an issue. I recently wrote my column that Donna Ponte was an idea that I thought of somebody who has tons of experience working in different organizations, working with the league office, who can handle someone like Woody and that personality, and also understand what needs, how to keep the football side on task as an in-between. But from what I gather, that's not something that they're discussing at this moment as they're trying to flush out how they want the structure to be. But I don't think this is all that bad if you're a Jets fan and you're going, look, there's going to be the fan group that's like, oh, you guys are just tabloid chasers or quick chasers or all the other crazy names I get called. I think the good part of this is maybe this is something that will resonate. Maybe this is something at 78 years old, Woody goes, okay, maybe I can't do it this way anymore. That's got to be the hope for Jets fans.
And first thing, it seems like he's got to get his kids in order here. Disappointing kids, a teenager is going to be hard to do. BT and Sal, we're talking with Diana Rossini, who had the latest article from The Athletic. Do you think this can be a desirable spot for somebody who's established like Mike Vrabel or Thomas Dimitroff or any of the other guys that the Jets might be looking at?
I think word is already out. You know, I think sometimes the stuff that the fans and the public know, a lot of this is new, but people around the league have known this about ownership because they have gone through, they've had some turnover, and people share and people tell these stories to each other because it is such a small group of coaches and agents. It may seem big, but it just really isn't. Do I think that somebody like, let's just say a top candidate that we know that any team that has an opening is going to go after, like a Mike Vrabel, would now go, there's no way? No. I think Mike Vrabel will definitely meet with the New York Jets at some point, knowing that they do have some really good pieces in terms of this roster. It's just going to come down to, is Woody going to be open enough and maybe even perhaps vulnerable enough to share some of the mistakes he's made and try to say, what do you think? How can I help you? How can I put my trust in that you're going to get this right? And to Woody's defense, I think at times in the past, he's probably tried to do that with Robert Saleh. Mm-hmm. He tried to do it with Rex Ryan and it blew up in his face. So I think he's got to find a way to trust the next person that comes in, and the next person that comes in has to be able to clearly lay out their philosophy, what they want, where they want this thing to go, and what they need from the owner. And if the owner doesn't think he can do it, and if the people around Woody don't really believe that Woody can hold back, then they have to have a real serious conversation. Because having a first-time head coach come into New York, to me, I think that's the worst-case situation for them. It may be that may be how it winds up, because they'll lose out on some of the veteran guys. But it is hard enough to be a coach. Mm. Now throw in the layer of a difficult owner, throw in New York and everything else that comes along with it.
Yeah, and a 41-year-old quarterback with a contract that's not great. Yeah, I want to ask you something about Rodgers. Obviously, the record is what it is, and the Jets have not taken the step forward that we all thought that they could when they traded for Rodgers. Forget about the record, though. Do you think that he has added to the culture or weakened to the culture, whatever the heck that culture is in the building? Has it gotten worse or better since he showed up?
I'm a little taken back that you're asking that, because not to redirect, do you think it's gotten better? Like,
No, but I'm not on the inside. No, I don't. Listen, I've got 4 hours every day to talk about this. I'm very curious. No, I don't.
Direct. And by the way, I listen to you guys all the time. I love you guys.
Yeah, no, I got you. I don't, Diana. I don't. I don't think
mean to be aloof there. It's more, no, this has not worked. This is not what the Jets signed up for. This is not what Aaron Rodgers has signed up for. The relationship between ownership and the quarterback is not great. He gets along with Christopher Johnson. That relationship is great. It is not good between Woody and Aaron. It's fine. It's had its ups and downs, more downs than ups.
Mm-hmm.
Woody wants a better Aaron Rodgers. He wants the MVP caliber type. That's not what he was getting. Rodgers has had strong opinions about things. Woody doesn't always agree. Rodgers doesn't agree with a lot of things that Woody's doing. You know, as much as we're reflecting on some of the ownership issues here, these are things, the sentiments that the players feel as well. about how this organization is run. And Aaron Rodgers certainly has a lot of opinions, and he has shared this publicly. I think he's been letting it out a little bit week by week, whether it's on Pat's show or even in his press conferences, that he doesn't have tons of respect for the way the Jets operation has been run. I don't think that's a secret. So how can you expect a quarterback to come in here and set this incredible identity that he was promised, or at least those that were hopeful that he would bring, when he was never even set up to win?
Yeah, that's the problem. To me, it's been everybody else but Aaron Rodgers. I'm not saying Rodgers has been great.
It's everybody. It's him too. Yeah, everybody.
Well, I'm not saying he's been great, but to me, he's not the problem. He's the one winner. The guy's won four MVPs. He's won a Super Bowl before. He's trying to change things. He comes in here, and it's just, as you said, Diana, yourself, he wasn't set up to succeed. On that, I did want to ask you just to clarify, what happened after the Denver game? Did Woody want to bench Rodgers? Was it a joke? Because there was a couple of different things about that one specific situation.
Yeah, the Jets went on the record with us to tell us that was a joke. That was in jest is the term that they used, right? As like, hey, I just want to be provocative here and see what the reaction could be in the room. I don't know what's funny about that.
No, yeah, I'm not sure I'm buying that. I mean, I respect that the Jets said that on the record to you. I respect that part of it, but I think they're covering up. It doesn't make any sense. You're right. It's not funny.
It's not funny. There's no joke in there. You don't joke about benching a Hall of Fame quarterback that has won MVP four times to just say it, to just get a reaction. But those that are that know Woody, I've been told numerous stories over the years about him, that this is his personality. He likes to push. He likes to just get reaction from people to see who's got the guts, who's got the courage to do things and speak up. But I think the most important part of that story is, it's not so much how you take it, with how the a Jet spokesperson takes it, how I take it. It's how the room filled with people that are coaching Aaron Rodgers and making these decisions take it. And none of them took it as in jest. None of them took it as a joke. They took it as, this is something the guy that owns the team, that signs their check, has made a suggestion. So this is something that we need to consider, and this is not a good idea. So I do think a lot of people are falling into the trap of, well, he was just joking. Let me know what's funny about it.
Nothing.
And we can all agree.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for the punchline.
Right, that's what they said, but obviously do the math. Come on. I mean, it's ridiculous.
All right, listen.
I know, and I feel for Jets fans, because I do think that there was a point, guys, because I've talked to you guys before, where this thing was on the right track, it felt like. This thing was cruising, and it just... it all just fell apart, and just like any other losing team, by the way, this isn't just specific to the New York Jets. When you're losing, this stuff all comes to light.
Yeah.
If Robert Saleh is still the head coach, if they've got a winning record right now, and things are moving into the postseason direction, I'm not sure if this stuff gets uncovered.
No. Listen, Diana, at the end of the day, listen, really appreciate your time, Diana Rossini, BT and Sal. I mean, you could go to any franchise that's had sustained failure rather than what we're all chasing, sustained success, and do an investigative piece and collaborate with two or three other peers and do a deep dive and be well-sourced. And it's not going to be pretty below the surface anywhere, whether it's the Browns or maybe the Jaguars right now, or the Knicks back in the day with Isaiah and James Dolan. And so it is what it is. I don't know that we should be surprised about this, but I was still, even me, who has been almost callous to the point where, I won't say it doesn't bother me, but I'm never stunned anymore with the Jets' failures. This even went a layer below I thought was possible. It's almost like this was written up and it's a parody account. Like, this can't possibly be real. But it is.
I know. It's funny, the reaction, it's not funny, but the reaction around the league has been, it has surprised me. A lot of people are like, wow, I've heard this before. And, people from other teams, like even we published this morning around 5 a.m. and I was getting texts by 7 a.m. on West Coast from teams out there. Like, wow, oh my goodness, I heard it was bad. I didn't think it was this bad. And look, everyone likes to watch the car wreck. There's problems like this in the other New York organization. So
Not like anyone. Like this?
It's not as Madden driven, but they've got their own set of problems.
Yeah, they're still playing Tecmo Bowl.
that was a good one, BT.
That is funny, because there's a lot of reasons why you said it. That makes it very funny. But look, both teams are losing right now. both teams are in a hard place. There's not a lot of answers for the future. All I know for the Jets, they've got to nail this GM head coaching search. And I know for a fact that they are trying hard right now in making sure that they're going to be able to be as honest and open with these candidates about what they want accomplished here in New York. Because, you know, after a story like this, they're going to have to answer a lot of questions.
Thank you, Diana. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, guys.
Diana Rossini of The Athletic, of course. Zach Rosenblatt, Mike Silver also contributing to that latest scathing column about Woody Johnson. And I love what she said there, BT, because this is stuff that we have heard behind the scenes for years. She heard it, I'm sure, herself, and others are like, hey, let's go report on this. Mm-hmm. And there you go, get together, and now it's another report that paints Woody in, I don't think a bad light, I think it paints him in who he is like. This is what's going on with the Jets.
Yeah, but the thing about Woody is I think for a while, the impression was, he's docile. He's Woody. He's just kind of, because he's not some big physically imposing figure.
Yeah.
But he seems to be a tyrant behind closed doors. And I didn't really think it was quite like that until a couple of years ago. But this has been a 6-month investigation. Right. So you do this kind of a deep dive on a franchise, you better connect the dots and be right. And, I'm not saying I'm taking one side or the other, but, I mean, how do you refute what's been reported? But they've been a mess forever.
You can't. But she did say, and this to me would mean a lot, especially coming from her, who's done the bulk of the reporting on this stuff, that she thinks Woody's going
to
change.
Ready to change, yeah.
I mean,
that's about time. He's almost 80.
Come on, man. Better late than never.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk about your favorite teams on The Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Anytime. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
BT and Sal back on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We'll throw back here for our old boss who's in the building today, BT, Mark Chernoff.
Journey.
And you get Stove said he selected the song, and it sounds like one of the old bridge packs that we used to have back at the in Astoria, back in the old days.
Journey, come on in here, buddy.
Good to see Mark. Oh, you. Oh.
Get him on the air. Let's go, Churns.
All right.
Say hi to everybody. Legend, let's go. Mark Chernoff is in the studio.
You know what I love most about Mark? His love.
He's gone?
Well, no. He brought me back. I mean, come on.
Fired him the first time.
But he had to. I stand by that. But you did bring me back. Like, there was this narrative, without Mark, or without Spike, you wouldn't have been. No, Mark brought me back. He's the one who had me first here. So anyway, what I love most about Mark, BT, is his love for radio. Because, Mark, you made plenty of money and ran this place forever and easily could have retired, as I fill here before you untangle those headphones.
Come on, man. First time you're touching headphones?
You're on the air. You want to work on the air. You just got to flip that one right
there. You don't
need
headphones. We're right next to you.
No, he wants to hear that. What, Mark, what's happening here?
Yeah, look at this. Same thing. Wait, this... Yeah, he loves radio so much.
That's why I don't want to... Oh, yeah.
He can't put the headphones on.
Okay, it wasn't me.
Three, two, and one. There you go.
There we go.
Whoa, but you're on the air regularly. You could have just retired and you know, lived a nice, easy life. You want to be on
you
the air.
Barely, by the way.
Oh,
yeah,
gosh.
Right.
They don't work anymore.
Oh, God.
Oh, come on, Mark. Just get on the mic, will you? This is big.
That's okay.
Hey, Journey, you're a step away from getting booted. Come on, buddy.
Well, you know,
what are you doing to us here, Mark?
Hey, guys, you know that I'm doing music shows. One of the stations is down in Jersey, 107.1 The Boss. I work with Robbie Bridges down there. And the great Ross Britton does shifts there.
I remember Ross. Was that the Z Morning Zoo?
Z Morning Zoo, and before that, the old WABC when they still played music.
Yeah.
And I also still work for this company down in Washington, D.C. on 94.7 The Drive. So I do shifts down there. I go in live, do them all in person.
Attaboy.
And I told you guys, I was a music jock and a music PD the first half of my radio career.
What's your favorite band to play?
Favorite band to play? Now, I wouldn't say there's a favorite band to play, but I love Crosby, Stills, Nash. I love Pink Floyd. I love Led Zeppelin. I love The Who, The Beatles, The Stones, The Doors.
Oh, okay.
The Doors might be my favorite band of all time.
Really?
I don't remember you talking a lot of music back in the day in the newsroom, like to Mike or anybody like that. Did you have those conversations?
Well, I don't think Mike was particularly interested in talking about music.
He was just,
you know, Harris Allen and I...
He didn't want to talk to Dog half the time.
Well, Dove and I would talk music all the time. Matter of fact, when I get here, Dove says to me, I'm the music director. And I said, I know you know music. That's good. But I said, nah, I can still be in charge of you. I can't hear you because
he's mic down.
What's going on here?
This is, whoa, boy.
I tried these, but the jack here.
Did you hear we had Mike on last week?
Early.
No, I didn't hear.
Oh.
Now it's working.
Have you talked to Mike lately? Or?
No, I have not. I have not.
Really?
Not at all?
You guys are like best buds.
We were at one time, but he went off in a different direction.
We got to mend the fences. Can we have this happen here? Life's too short.
Okay. I love Mike. I always did, but you know, he hasn't been in touch.
Do you talk to Dog?
Yes, occasionally.
Minko occasionally. There you go.
Minko always says, yeah, I'll call you back. I talked to him for an hour. I'll call you. We get together. We never do.
I got you.
I see Harris Allen, though.
Okay.
We go back to the 70s.
Guy.
We worked at a little radio station in Sussex County, New Jersey, called WNNJ. And that's where we met. And when we used to drive back down, I was living in Fort Lee at the time, and he was living out in Brooklyn. We would stop at a Dairy Queen in Sparta, New Jersey, and get banana shakes.
But listen, what Sal just said, I don't want that. That's funny. Bananas. I don't know anybody that gets a banana shake.
I wouldn't get one now. Yeah. You couldn't pay me to have one of them now.
What's next? Tapioca shake?
Yeah, right.
You know, and he said this when we brought you on. We love that you love radio the way that you do.
I still love radio.
We love it. It's like a drug. It is still the most powerful medium out there. It really is.
You used to listen to The Fan, well, obviously when you're running things here, all the time. Like, we would be, even if we were doing overnight, part-time, behind the ball, whatever, if there was a screw-up, that phone would be ringing, which, I liked having that. Even as somebody who might have gotten yelled at one or two times for either going to a break late or whatever, you listened all the time, which is very hard to do.
And I always tried to have two radios on. Back in the office, I had one radio on Fan, and one radio on CBS Sports Radio. Plus, I tried to listen to other stuff. And when I was driving around, I always tried to listen to a lot of other things besides the radio station.
What would you advise, because you obviously have been great about this, but the business has changed, even from when I was an intern 20 years ago to working my way up, whatever, but it's changed so significantly. But you were a person who would always give great advice. You know, obviously, being a legend here, What would you advise younger kids now, or even guys like us now, with the business evolving the way that it is, to try to cut through and have a successful, sustained run?
At this point, practice. Do a podcast if you have to. Everybody can do something. You just got to practice, but you got to do two things. You got to listen to what you've done, and you've got to ask people you know to give a listen and try to give you an honest opinion of how you sound.
But what are you looking for? Is there anything you'd be looking for? Like, is it different, in other words, in 2024, what you're looking for versus what you look for in 2010?
I don't know. I like people to be well-rounded. I know that the world revolves to some degree now about the betting world and stuff like that, so that's different from back then. But, you know, JR Sports Brief, who works here on the station, how did I find him? Podcast. Somebody said, hey, you know, there are a lot of people do podcasts. You ought to take a listen. One day I'm listening, and I said, who's this guy? And he had, some big celebrity on. I'm saying, how did he get that guy? Anyway, wound up getting in touch with him and the guy who was his agent or manager named Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
And he wound up coming to work for us.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You can find people.
Sure. Yeah.
You can. In the old days, it was you found somebody because you heard somebody in another market or whatever it was. Danielle McCartan, she was and I think still is a teacher up in North Jersey or in Rockland County or somewhere up there. I heard her doing something. She came in, we talked, and I wound up putting her on the air, too. So sometimes you just find people by talking to them and seeing what they know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great finding her because I think she's talented. She gets a fair amount of air shifts.
Yeah, she does. She's on the weekends quite a bit.
Yeah.
So that's the legendary Mark Chernoff, who was in studio. It is great to have you in, BT and Sal.
Well, now I'll let you get back to talking about Juan Soto. Like you haven't talked about him enough.
Things have changed, though, Mark. As I was telling Mike, the varsity now plays in Queens with Juan Soto. So it's been a nice dynamic.
But you got to give Cashman some credit coming up already with Bellinger and coming up with Max Fried and coming up with
Devin Williams. And a first base. But no, I love the pivot. And listen, it's good for both teams to be doing well. But I wanted to go back to something that you said before about like just the business, what you look for. I think the toughest thing for kids today, young students trying to break into the business, is to find their own voice. Because if you think about it, everybody's been influenced by somebody. So when you can you listen to somebody the way those who want to pursue this for a living listen to people, that voice is kind of ingrained in their head, and they try to replicate it to an extent. And sometimes it takes people a while to figure out really who they are on the air. That's tough for a young broadcaster.
Let me tell you something that Eric Spitz came up with years ago, and you may know it or
the
not.
Poke theory?
The poke theory.
Yeah.
Passion, opinion, knowledge, entertainment. If you can come up with all four of those things, you're going to be successful.
There it is. That's
you
the elixir right there.
Three of the four.
Yeah.
You know, you got a good shot. Anything less than that, it's going to be a problem. You'd just be a run-of-the-mill talent.
Your son's still with the Guardians organization?
The general manager of the Guardians.
Yeah. What are we looking at? Are they trading Naylor or what?
Yeah, Naylor coming to us or what?
Listen.
What do you mean? Come on.
No.
Can we take Ramirez
Did you go to
instead?
The playoff games? You were at all the playoff games?
I was.
Yeah.
I didn't go to Detroit, but I saw all the games here, and I saw the Guardians games against the Tigers out there in Cleveland.
By the way, were you stunned that Soto left the Yankees?
I wasn't stunned.
No.
I just thought he was all in for the money. And I don't know, you know, you hear the stories, was it the Swede? Was it an airplane? I mean, who knows if that was it? But Steve Cohen has more money than anybody out there. And I think no matter what the Yankees were going to offer, and I think the Yankees probably, I mean, I have no extra knowledge, probably what they realized was anything they would do, Steve Cohen could go one deeper.
What do you miss most about WFAN?
The people.
Is that true?
I love...
Could have fooled me. I don't know.
Oh, come on.
I'm just kidding with you. I'm just kidding.
I love the people.
You've always been great to me personally, so I have no issue with that.
I love the people. I mean, I loved coming to work every day. I, you know, came in early. I love seeing Boomer and Carton and Boomer and Geo in the morning, and certainly worked closely with Imus for all the years he was here, and I was always around, went on the road with him.
When he passed away, you were here. Did you come in that night? I was hosting. I think I did the evening. You don't remember this,
no,
do you? But
I
was a pretty big... For me, it was a big moment.
I called in. I know that.
Oh, you came in. You were here. Oh, yeah. I don't know if you called in or came in, whatever, but you were here that night because I remember being on the air. I don't know if it was the evening or the overnight when I was passed away, which is like a huge thing for the station, obviously. But I remember, you know, working with you.
I was here. You're right.
Yeah, you came in. Yeah, because I was like, oh, crap, Chernoff is here.
We had to put stuff together. We had to do a whole
thing. Yeah.
Well, Mark, it came up. I'd love, hopefully you'll do this. Hopefully you will. About 2 weeks ago, me and Sal were kicking around the Mount Rushmore of FAM. Francesa chimed in. Minko gave me his list. What is, in your opinion, the Mount Rushmore of WFAN? And Mike and Chris cannot be together. That no team can be together. It's got, you can't do it.
It's hard for me to, I can just give you a list of people, but I don't want to miss people either because there were so many things that were important over the years. Imus certainly, Imus, if you wanted to call him the emperor,
yeah.
And Mike and Chris were the kings.
Okay, who's number four?
It's hard to say, but...
Would you put yourself on that list?
No, I don't put myself on any
list. Okay, just ask. To me...
Joe Beningo for all the years.
Over
Boomer? He was great. And no, I'm sorry. Boomer,
okay.
Carton.
Yeah.
Are definitely up there.
Uh-huh.
I mean, all the years that they did and putting them on in 2007, so I'm sorry. Yeah, of course they're right up there.
Right.
Imus, yeah. Mike and Chris, Boomer and Carton, Boomer and Geo.
You can't have everybody on there,
no.
Mark. It's got to be just four.
And even, you know what? You know the story about Evan Roberts, right? But he was, 10 years old.
Did updates
his,
on?
His, oh, with Imus.
His mother sent me a tape. And I listened, and I said to him, "This kid's really good. Let's put him on here."
Now, was he good because he was a 10-year-old kid, and that wasn't really
he was cocky.
Was
he knew what he
good?
Was talking about.
Yeah,
yeah. He had lived some of his sportscast, so I just loved him. He's great. He says, "Yeah, have the kid come back." So I invite the kid back 2 weeks later. He says, "Get him the edge out of here. He stinks, and I don't want to see his mother around here." It's like, oh okay. So next time I heard from Evan, he was 19 years old. He was working at a station a little outside of Baltimore. He says, "Do you remember?" And I said, "Yeah." And we went through the whole thing. And he really wanted to come up here. I said, "You know what? Let me know when you have some time. I'll give you an overnight or two. We'll see how you do." And he did great. I offered him, he did, I think, 3 overnights a week for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, you know, we moved him up to Park.
That's how easy it was, huh?
All these years later, he still acts the same as he did when he was on the air as a 10-year-old. Yeah.
As I say, I mean, Summers is, I mean, all the people that were here. You know.
That's funny. How's it going? Oh,
no,
man.
It's been a great
time. It's terrific.
So I hate to categorize anybody as who's the best, who was this, who was that, because they all meant something special. And I'm so glad, you know, that Boomer and Gio are so successful in the morning. You guys seem to be doing great. Evan and Tiki. I met Tiki many, many years ago at a Ruth's Chris. We were doing a remote there, and I got introduced, and he wanted to be on the radio, and eventually we gave him some shifts with somebody. And I said, "When you learn hockey, you can do a shift by yourself."
Well, then, what
one
is he doing
day
on the
he
air
says, "I know enough about hockey." And I said, "Okay, fine, give you a solo show." He eventually went over to 1050 for a little while.
Oh, I reached that month. I remember the Tiki Lounge from Jay-Z's 40/40.
But then he came back.
I understand. So. Came back home.
Your fingerprint's still all over this place with everybody here. Yeah. How about that?
Well, whatever.
Well, what do you mean? You got to take some pride in that,
legend.
No?
I do.
Legend.
I mean,
you have to be humble about that.
I was proud to say that legend. I spent almost 29 years at WFAN. Station meant a lot, still means a lot.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time here. As you know, Mark, we have to break. So I hate to cut this short, but I don't want to get yelled at by the boss. Thank you,
thanks,
Mark.
Guys.
You need help taking the headsets off? Thanks, Shirty.
Former boss, legend. Mark Chernoff in the house. We'll come back, get to your calls, leave the side. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Your official station to talk Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on the field. Let's get back to the calls. 888-808-1019. One thing we didn't touch on, though, yesterday, real quick, BT, was the Deion Sanders was on some podcast and said basically that he's got inside info that the Giants are not going to trade the number one pick if they do have it. Shocker. Like, I wouldn't be shocked, even though you think that you could make an argument for maybe trading out of that one spot because they need have more needs or they don't want the quarterback, whatever. He said they're going to keep that number one pick and they would take Shedeur Sanders. To me, that's the right move. Like, whether Sanders is going to project well at the NFL, who the hell knows? But if you're the Giants, you need a quarterback, and you get the top pick, he is the clearly best quarterback in the draft, whether he's, you know, Andrew Luck or not, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You got to take the best guy and then hope whoever's here, assuming it is going to be Shane and Dable, develop him into a real quarterback.
I disagree with that philosophy, and I told you that the other day. Now, if they absolutely love Shedeur Sanders, and I don't know that they do. I know that they've scouted him a bunch. I know that they've been out to Colorado to watch him practice, so they've done their homework. They very well might love him. If they like him, you don't just take a quarterback because you need one, because that just sinks the hole deeper. And that's the problem. As you kind of branch out, as we have here on the show, like the decision here for John Mara, you know, these guys need to save their asses here. And they got to get a quarterback in the building. And they are motivated by the knowledge that they have to get a quarterback. And when you know that you need a certain specific position, are you sacrificing some things with that player just to fulfill the need and to maybe placate some people that you ordinarily wouldn't sacrifice? I don't know the answer to that, but I think it's a temptation. I would be absolutely open to trading down.
But here's the problem with that. They haven't taken a quarterback. So, I mean, they took a quarterback 6 years ago with Daniel Jones, and even then, like, and I know you don't need to rehash and go over the Barkley thing, but because of that decision,
yep,
it set the Giants up for years to make poor decisions. And then even last year, where they clearly needed a quarterback, and there was some there. So their excuse last year was that, well, we don't love any of the guys that are available to us, whether it's Bo Nix or McCarthy or Penix or whoever else after the top three guys. We don't love them. So to me, then, instead of trading down last year and getting multiple picks, they take a wide receiver, which is wrong. And now this year, where you may have the top pick, like you almost, I know what you're saying in theory. I think that their hand is forced. They have no choice but to take a quarterback.
Well, think about this, Al. Let's say they take Sanders one and he's not really it. And by the way, he could be. So that
also might not be.
Let's say he's not the guy. What would be more damaging? Drafting somebody, because we all know they need a quarterback. We clearly get that. But taking a guy that you like but don't love, and he winds up 2-3 years down, you're like, we got the wrong guy. That, what would set them back further as a franchise? That, or say trading out from the one spot to maybe 7 or 8, getting 3, 4, 5 additional draft picks, popping on 2 or 3 of them, and at the non-quarterback position,
right,
and making one of the worst, if not the worst roster in football better.
Right, but then where are you getting the quarterback?
Like, you found a bridge guy. I know it's easy to say that on the radio. Well, I get it. It's not appealing to fans.
But understood. I'll give you that. I understand, but I'll give you that. All right, find a bridge guy. But eventually, they're going to need the quarterback. So to me, while I understand where you're coming from, I think it's worth the risk of being set back further by taking a quarterback. Like, I don't even, they, unfortunately, because of all the moves that they've made, they've put themselves where they have no choice. Even if they're picking number two, it's almost you have to take a quarterback even if you don't love the guy. That's not the way you'd want to do business, but I think right now the way they're set up, especially if they keep Shane and Dable.
Yep.
That, like, and even if you're bringing a new guy, then all right, you let the new guy decide, fine, I don't love Sanders or I don't love Ward, whatever it may be. So let's trade down and start to build this thing out a different way. But if you keep Shane and Dable, they need their own quarterback, and they've made this, like, it can't just be every year, BT, well, we don't like the quarterbacks that are available where we're picking.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's one, whether it's six, whether it's 10, whatever. It can't be every year, we don't love the quarterbacks that we're picking. At some point, you got to get pushed into the water. Hey, pick a freaking quarterback and develop them. Otherwise, it's never going to happen.
But that's why I wouldn't bring him back. Like, that's always one of the things that I've leaned on here. If you're going to make a move, which I would, both the general manager and the head coach, and I'm on the record, you know, I would not bring either person back for the Giants next year, even though I think they might, as certainly one of them, probably Shane more than Dable, and we've discussed that. You know, to me, the desperation distorts sensibility. And right now, if both men are brought back, or even if just Joe Shane is brought back, you know, in terms of being the one who's going to pick this quarterback, he's going to be desperate even if he's retained, because he's got to get a quarterback. And when you're desperate, what did I just say?
It distorts
sensibilities.
Yeah, I get it. All right, let's get back to the phones. We've been talking about Woody Johnson and that article from The Athletic. Jason is in Brooklyn. What's up, Jason?
Hey, boys. Great show. Really enjoying it. Happy holidays.
Thank you.
You too, Jay.
I would like to commiserate with you, too, because I'm a Bears fan. I feel very similar. I don't know if the rock has been kicked over, and we know all this, the bugs that are laying underneath, like we know with this Athletic article about the Jets. But I just wanted to bring this up. You know, do these owners really care about winning, or is it just another toy, and they think, hey, we're making a truckload of money every year. If we win, great. If not, at least I get to feed my ego, be in on the decisions and all that. Because at the end of the day, it's been proven time and time again that the owner who stays out of the way is successful. You never hear about the Rooneys in Pittsburgh, ever. And they're good every single year. And then we go down to Texas. The Cowboys are the most overrated franchise in American sports. They're never good. Well, I don't understand it. Like, why do the McCaskies don't know what to do? They're trying to eat soup with a fork all the time. It's ridiculous, you know? And boys, I know you'll appreciate this. I'm tired of eating grilled cheese off the radiator.
Thanks. Oh, it's an old school reference. My goodness. Yeah, I got you. Soup with a fork doesn't sound too much fun, too much fun either. Yeah. Do I think that he cares? I do. I think it's unfair, and, you know, I would never I've levied a lot of criticisms at Woody. I'll never say he doesn't care. Problem is, I think he cares too much, and he doesn't know how. He just doesn't have the contacts. He doesn't know football. So when his influence gets in the way because he cares, and he makes it worse.
I think a lot of times it's an easy, lazy narrative. I said the same thing for years about the Wilpons. I would say the same thing about the Jets. Like, yeah, it's just easy to go right to the top. Oh, I need to sell the team. In this particular case, it is not easy nor lazy. It is factual reporting that shows you the dysfunction. It is not an owner like, let's say, James Dolan that was making mistakes or meddling a little bit. This is like when you start ripping a player, telling him to his face he sucks.
Mm-hmm.
When you start going by Madden ratings. Yep. When you're letting your kids dictate things and Joe Douglas saying he has to answer to a teenager.
It's broken.
I mean, that's beyond anything that you could actually comprehend of being reality the way the football team is run. Woody makes the Jets his little playground. It's his little board game. He's got to fix it. At least maybe he'll acknowledge it now, and maybe the Jets will be better off for it. We'll continue with your calls, reset, get you down with the King topic of the day when we come back.